I invite you to pray with me. God, we thank you for the gift of the people in our lives who have let their light shine and who have reflected their faith in you to us. God, as we remember them, may we be comforted by their lives and be comforted by your grace and your love that shines in all of us. In your name we pray. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, my family and I started reading the Harry Potter books together. Each night we read one chapter, and we hold on for dear life at the end of each chapter as the kids groan because they want one more chapter read. If you're not familiar with the story, Harry Potter is orphaned when his parents are killed by the evil character Voldemort. Harry was an infant when this happened, and miraculously, he survived the attack and sent Voldemort into hiding. After this, Harry is raised by his aunt and uncle. They are very different than Harry and his parents. They never mention his parents to him, and they avoid his questions at all cost. It leaves Harry feeling terribly alone in the world and searching for answers to existential questions. Throughout his childhood, Harry had no idea to whom he belonged or from where he came. And then one day, he gets an invitation from Hogwarts School of Wizardry and Witchcraft. For the first time in his life, people are talking about his parents and they know who he is. Hearing these stories about his parents and what they stood for give Harry tremendous comfort. And these stories give him courage to do what he's called to do later in life. The Christians in our first reading today who received this letter called the Hebrews were struggling to remember who they were and to whom they belonged. They needed a boost of courage at this time. You see, they were facing persecution from Rome, and some of them were abandoning the faith because it just seemed too dangerous. The author reminded them of the struggles of their ancestors, the challenges they faced, and the faithfulness of God to encourage them to carry on this mission that Jesus began. Today, we remember the people who have helped us know who we are, who have encouraged us in faith and reminded us of where we come from. In the church, we call them saints. Now, these are not miracle-working saints who cathedrals and churches are named for. No, they are ordinary saints, people like you and me, who the letter of the Hebrews calls a great cloud of witnesses. They are faithful people who let their light shine and who flavored the world with their love and humor, their grace, and their humanity. These ordinary saints are our family members, our friends, and as you see in the worship folder, members of this church and the Church Universal who have looked to Jesus as the pioneer and perfecter of faith. These people that we remember today were there for us. They celebrated our successes with us. They struggled alongside us. They persevered through adversity, and they encouraged us to do the same. They have doubted and sinned and disappointed us numerous times, but they have also shown us how to seek forgiveness and offer mercy. They have taught us that making things right involves trusting in God's love, even when life is difficult. These saints we remember today were by no means perfect, but they shape who we are, and they remind us again and again to whom we belong. Now, like any great witness, this great cloud of witnesses gives testimony to what others have done. They don't tell their own story, but they tell the story of others. Namely, our saints tell us what God has done through Jesus in their lives. The question for us today is, how closely do we listen to their stories? And what has their testimony told us and compelled us to believe about God and the church and the world? I believe for us, it is not a matter of whether we believe in God, but rather what kind of God we put our trust in and pattern our lives after. Is it a God of judgment, a God who stands at a distance, or do we belong to a God who is nearer to us than our very breath and who loves us into being and walks with us through every season of life? As members of the church, the cloud of witnesses extends beyond those of us gathered here, extends across generations and geographies as we remember that we are part of the church universal, remembering that this cloud of witnesses stretches across generations and geographies gives us a wider perspective about who God is and how God is at work in the world. When we hear testimony from another corner of the church, we gain a deeper sense of what we are part of and to who we belong. And sometimes we may even sense a call to something that we did not know was in us because of what we see and hear God doing in other parts of the church. You are probably aware that later this week, I'll be leaving for Ethiopia and South Sudan. I'll be with a couple of other pastors from our synod. We will visit an ELCA missionary named Wal Reet. He's South Sudanese, but spent 20 years here in southeastern Minnesota. He leads 26 congregations with a team of lay leaders. We'll visit them, do some teaching and some preaching. And then later next week, we'll travel to Juba, South Sudan, and join 20 other ELCA leaders and many Christians in South Sudan for the dedication of the new Lutheran Ministry Center. Now, many of you have expressed some concern about me traveling. And you've told me multiple times that you'll be praying for me. I'm grateful. So grateful for your prayers that have already been spoken, and ask that you will continue to keep me and Pastor Pete and Pastor Chad in your prayers as well. Some have asked if I'm nervous. Others have asked if I have to go. Do you have to go? One woman I was visiting earlier this week asked. I don't have to go. But there are a couple of reasons I feel compelled to go. I feel called to be a witness to the work of the Spirit among our brothers and sisters in South Sudan. They are doing incredible work in desperate situations. In the face of potential ethnic cleansing and civil war, these Christians are building a church that strives to bring warring tribes together and make peace visible. In so many ways, they are trying to embody the statement that's written on our sanctuary walls and that is embedded in our mission to build bridges of understanding and peace. And their confidence in God to make this happen is nothing short of inspiring. But they need partners. Partners like us who will pray for them and who will help tell their story. I also feel compelled to go because I believe that we, as the church in America, have something to learn from our African brothers and sisters. They are doing incredible ministry with so few resources. They have no structure, no organization, and yet God moves and lives and has its being among them. I think we are at a crossroads in the church today, here in America and in the West. The ways we do church isn't working as well as it once did. We have measured success by the number of people attending on a Sunday morning or the number of dollars in our budgets, rather than the number of lives that are changed within our congregations and across the street in our towns and cities. We often limit the heavy lifting of ministry to professionals and a dedicated small core of volunteers. Because of these neatly constructed ministries that we have, our faith is sometimes limited to what we believe we can do, but does not always account for the immeasurable amount of ways God is at work in each and every one of us, calling us to be saints, calling us to be the church today. Our examples of faithful living, because we are part of this great cloud of witnesses, are not limited to our own experiences. We are part of the same community as those whom Hebrews was written. God placed us among people like Abraham and Moses and Miriam and Mary and Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Wal Reet and all of those saints that we name today in our congregation. These people surround us. They surround us to encourage us. Encourage us in faith, encourage us in our own testimony to what God can and will do among us. See, we trust God is with us in birth and in death, and that God does make things new again. So we have nothing to fear in matters of faith or life. Robert Benet writes, from a Christian point of view, we are immersed in God. God is the hot furnace of love out of which all things come and to which all things go. Our conviction is that all this activity issues from the plenitudes of God, from his loving kindness. So friends, when you feel burdened by life, or you are lost in grief, or you lose track of who you belong to, remember that God's love is what forms you, and that God's love surrounds you with a great cloud of witnesses that urges us on and ushers us home. Thanks be to God. Amen.